Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's radio, top part of the Saturday. Worldwide international radio broadcast, top part of the Saturday, is now on the air. I'll be your host, by name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal, top part of Saturday. The memos is coming in, camp 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the gates is opened up, so get in where you've been in at the memo, top part of Saturday, the day the Almighty made for me and you. Live broadcast, top part of Saturday, fifth month, May the 10th, 2024. It's the day the Almighty have made. Live in all six locations, so get in where you fit in at.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay, so what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath. So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails, I don't respond to work calls, I don't read
from
any
Friday night.
Friday night sundown.
Sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's
like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay? So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it
is
the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious. But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, Dad, I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see, Hollywood, as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
And like literally for your first job. I mean, sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith.
Yes.
You say to them,
yeah,
look, I have to have the Sabbath off.
Yes.
Which, may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It didn't. It wasn't intentional.
Like you, it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. But I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally, it feels like he's speaking to me. You know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land, hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
after
job,
I get what I want,
I'll tell them.
Right. Yeah. But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observed the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We're also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observes Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from
any scripts.
Friday night sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's
like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, Dad, I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job. I mean, sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
For your first job. Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's right.
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was it was.
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It didn't. It wasn't intentional.
Like you wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. But I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally. It feels like He's speaking to me. You know, because she, everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land, hey, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
after
job,
I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
But He said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right, well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observed the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet, tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
But also, thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right, we live, top of the Sabbath day of 5/10/2024. But on the international side, it's packed down, ready to go. But on the left side, the harvest is plenty, but the labor is through. So what we'll do, we'll put a tape on. And once they come in on the left side, the elders and the mothers come in, then we'll come back live. So what we'll do, we'll put a tape on and come back later on in the broadcast. Minimum 3 hour broadcast anyway. But we'll come back a little bit later. But once we get the mothers and the elders to participate in the broadcast, be back later. So let's put a tape on for right now. And then we'll come back live once we know they're ready to holler in that microphone. This is a big job to do by hollering in that microphone, so but it got to be done. You got to see you're always ready to go. I'm always ready to go take care of Yahweh's business. Because every time you come on the broadcast, it can't be your last. So you got to give it all you got, and that's what I believe in. I'm known as just talk the talk, I walk the walk, so. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put a tape on right now, and then when I do, I'll come back later in about so many minutes. And once they're in the room, then I'll come back live and we'll see where we go from there. So that's why I beat y'all. Let's put a tape on and come back later.
Okay, yeah, I got this in the back. You know how you just go in and you let it happen. It's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
I get
what I want.
I'll tell her.
Right. Yeah. And he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right. Well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown or Saturday night sundown because I observed the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet, tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
But also, about the doors, right? If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk to that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet, tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right?
Okay, we'll be right back.
That's what we do. We'll put a tape on right now. But when you come in the room, we will be ready to go. Matter of fact, no D.F. Israel came in the room, so I guess we're ready to go. See, no D.F. Israel, you don't came in the room, so we're going to put on a live tape. We'll go take the no D.F. Israel. We'll get something going on by saying, Mother D.F. Israel. Yahweh Israel, see you right.
Yep. Yahweh bless you, see Israel of Seror. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
my dear Israel. See you on the broadcast on that this call Thursday evening. And I wanted to get that what we left off on before we interrupted by the dignitaries.
Verse 12, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, Mother. In the very same hour, Mother, the righteous spirit will tell us what we need to know. But we got to be righteous to receive this righteous spirit. And I want to get back to what we left off on, Mother. Yesterday, we was talking about Moses having this vision. And Moses was told something that was to happen, Mother. What was he told in Deuteronomy 33, verse 1 and 7? I think that's time, Mother, to look at this for you and see what we get out of it. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 1 and 7.
Deuteronomy chapter 33. Can you repeat the verses?
Verse 1 and 7.
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1 and verse 7. Verse 1 reads, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of Yahweh, bless the children of Israel before his death. Verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear Yahweh, the voice of Judah, and bring him into his people. Let hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemy.
You catch the Lord, okay, come on the broadcast. And so we'll bring our elder in, Mother, but we're going to continue down that line because that's the information we need to know that Moses was given the vision that up the road, Judah will be taking over the ministry. We want to run that down a little bit later. Let's bring our elder in, and he'll tell y'all about the broadcast. One thing we know, on the international side, those 900,000 strong ready to hear the word of Yahweh, and the best is already here, like the elder said, and the rest has got to come, but they got to understand when you come, you got to come in order. But you got to hear order. Once you understand order, Yahweh got no other trouble to come on in and do what he got to do that brings. He got to honor what he told the angels in 149.
have a Psalm 149 verse 9. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise you, Yahweh.
So what is executed written, Mother, in verse number 8? What he got written that we need to know about and keep our eyes on the prize. What to execute upon them the judgment written. And what that mean in verse 8,
Mother? In Psalm 49, verse 8, to bind their kings, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with ladder of iron.
The fellows of iron. So we both be able to hurt these righteous acts, Mother. That one day up the road, the children of the book, they gonna bind their kings up with chains and they nobles with belts of iron. Why so, Mother? In verse 7. Why, Mother? Verse 7.
49:7.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right, we live on Top Power this Saturday, 5/10/2024. So we can go live and bring our elder in. He tell y'all about the broadcast, Top Power this Saturday. Camp 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, everybody ready to go. And we see Mother D. F. Israel, she ready to holler on that microphone in grand style on Top Father Saturday. She coming on stage and the elder is ready to go. So we might as well just like I said, go live, Top Father Saturday. So when you meet our elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, Yahweh BJSD Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, see Israel, will see well. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Elder. Well, once you're about it, the box can't have been lit, the curtain have went up. This is the top part of the Saturday. This is the day the man always talks about. The day for the Pacific people called children of Israel to keep it. And Israel are taking lightly, but the blessing is in doing his will. So, Elder, take your time and tell a mass knowing who's doing what, and then we'll get something going on Top Part of Saturday. Live broadcast, Top Part of Saturday. Our Mr. Tibbs is ready to tell y'all about the broadcast, read a couple of memos and letters. He's going to do a whole lot of things, and I love every minute of it. So it'll take a time and do your part. You're on the clock tomorrow.
And once again, Yahweh bless you, see you as well. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of over 900,000 listeners. on the Sabbath day. And that's a good thing, because it's great that we can get the word out there to over 900,000 listeners. And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of deception out there. Many people go about their daily lives and they never realize all the deception that is present at the jobs, from your friends, and from the false teachers. It's really horrible to think of how much we go around being taught wrongly. I was in a few meetings this week and had to mention that at least several times. About a couple of weeks ago, they put me out of one of the churches, told me I don't belong to the seminary, so I don't have the right to speak. So I just politely left. And this just goes to show you some of the stuff that we go through. For a week or so, we've been talking about things that blacks have went through, the problems that Esau has put on the blacks, and we've been talking about the Jews. But that's like three different areas. Well, it may not be of readily importance to some people, but remember, we have some of our ancestors that went through this particular problem. You remember the Indians, to go back, you know, that is a savage name that Esau had given. They were given land. After they got beat up, they put them on the reservation. They realized they made a mistake. They put them on land that could be good for growing wildlife stock and growing fruits and vegetables. And they realized they couldn't get it from them because the government had gave it to them, similar to what's happening today. So how did they take their land from the Indians? They gave it to them. Now, many listening may not know about the Dane's Roll, the legacy of that, which is still in the Constitution if you look it up, where paying the commissioner $5 to get an opportunity white person on the Dane's Roll 125 years ago this started. And it caused problems for tribes today. Now, it may be fashionable to play Indian now, but it was also a Trinity 125 years ago when people paid $5 to falsify documents declaring them to be Native Americans on the Dane's Roll. Well, you know, our recent President Trump, he used to kid one of the women in the Congress, calling her Pocahontas, till it was found out she only had 2% Indian blood, and she was declared by the Indian nation to be not Indian. Most of us walking around today have more than 2% Indian blood. Some of our grandmothers was half Indian. So these so-called $5 Indians paid the government agents under the table in order to recap the benefits that came with having Indian blood. Like I just got through speaking about Trump teasing someone about a couple of years ago. Mainly white men with an appetite for land. $5 Indians paid to register on the Dane's Roll, earning fraudulent enrollment in tribes along with benefits inherited by generations to come, meaning that you paid $5 to get your land, and then your rich daddy or mama came and bought that land, dwindling the land smaller and smaller for the Indians. These were opportunist white people who wanted to access the land or food rations, said Gregory Smith, associated professor with the history of Virginia Commonwealth University. Now, you can use your pen and look this information up to see if the elder's wrong. But if you do, you'll be agreeing with me. These were people who were more than happy to exploit the Dane's Roll Commission. And the government agents for $5 were willing to turn a blind eye to grant the corruption. The Dane's Commission, established in 1883 to enforce the General Allotment Act of 1887, or the Dane's Act, which is in the Constitution now today. It was charged along with convincing tribes to cede their land to the United States and divide the remaining land to individual allotments. The commission also required Indians to claim membership in only one tribe and register the Dane's Roll. What the government meant to be a definite record of individuals with Indian blood. These were so-called $5 Indians that paid the agents under the table in order to recap the benefits that came with having Indian blood, mainly, as I said, white men with an appetite for land. $5 Indians paid to register on the Danes roll, earning fraudulent enrollment in tribes along with benefits inherited with generations to come. Now, doesn't that sound familiar with some of the stuff we talk about? I would think that it does. $5 Indian, that's not the first time they've been beefed or stiffed, I should say. They're trying to look for a decent word to call it. But they made over 500 promises also that they would keep. And our information that we learned as Voice of the True Israelites, they broke all 500. So that was the first one. Now, where do we fit in? Now, we have a long history for being mistreated, the black man, but as long as they get a bottle of whiskey, you know, something to smoke on, they're satisfied and don't think about it. But they're not thinking about the future generations. What we call reparation has been asked for a long time. Reparation for the black people means that you're paid or reimbursed for the wrongdoing that came on your generation or our generation. Discussions about atonement for enslavement on black Americans have a long history in the United States, and efforts toward reparation for slavery and race discrimination have been moved forward in some places in recent years. However, in the year 2021 in Evanston, Illinois, it became the first city to create reparation plan, not reparation, but a plan for its black residents. And California set up the nation's first state-level reparation task force. Now, again, this is not reparation, it's a task force for investigation. Earlier this year, Hartford University created a $100 million legacy of slavery, $100 million for the legacy of slavery. It was a fund to allow scholars and students to examine the university's connection to slavery. So what are they going to do? Pay $100 million to teach you about what happened, but none of this reparation is paid out for wrongdoing? People have to think about how they've been duped in the brain. Now, that's two steps. First, they duped the Indians. Then they duped the black people. All right, let's see about the Jews. Right now, I mentioned last week what they're going through with anti-Semitism. The Republicans voted for a bill that would make the Bible illegal. Well, that should outrage us, but it outrages the MAGA. It's a conservative voice commission that was outraged. And the congressional Republicans, voting for the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act over concerns it would make the Bible illegal. Now, Congress on Wednesday of last week, not years ago, last week, required the Department of Education to use the International Holocaust Remembrance. This is not nothing of slavery. It's the misuse of the Jews, the Holocaust Remembrance, IHRA, working with the definition of anti-Semitism when enforcing the anti-Semitism demonstration laws. It comes as colleges across the United States have been pro-Palestine protests that the critics say have allegedly veered into anti-Semitism. Well, this bill drew bipartisan criticism, both with the Democrats and the Republicans voting against it. Critics argued that the bill, if signed into law, stifles free speech that is protected by the U.S. Constitution and is overly broad in its definition of anti-Semitism. The word overly broad should make you have attention to what's being said. Overly broad definition for anti-Semitism, pointing to the definition including claiming that the existence of the state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Now, ultimately, there are 400 and some people in the Senate, 400 and some members. Well, 91 members voted against this bill in Congress. 320 approved the bill with an alarming rate. So some conservatives are taking this issue of the bill over IHRA, a definition of anti-Semitism, including claims of Jews killing Jesus, Yahweh the Son, that we know of, as blood libel, arguing that it would mean that parts of the Bible would now become illegal. While the definition of the bill classifies the idea that Jewish people were involved in killing Jesus, Yahweh the Son, as anti-Semitic, it does not make the Bible illegal. The bill states that it would require the Education Department to take into consideration the definition of anti-Semitism as part of the department's assessment whether the practice was motivated by anti-Semitic intent when investigating allegedly anti-Semitic discrimination at colleges. This is when some of the Jews were beat up on certain days that they celebrated. The Christians would jump on them and beat them and threaten to kill them. Concerns about the bill making the Bible illegal were shared by high-profile conservatives. Now, you wonder, did the House of Representatives just make part of the Bible illegal? That was posted by a conservative commander, Charlie Kirk, to ex-formerly Twitter. Representative Taylor Greer pointed, anti-Semitism is wrong, but I will not be voting for Anti-Semitism Awareness Act on 2023. It would convict Christians of anti-Semitism for believing the gospel that says Jesus, Yahweh the Son, was handed over to Herod to be crushed by the Jews. Congress voted to make the Bible illegal hate speech. Well, it was stated, I guess I'll see you all in jail, wrote Lauren Witzel, a former Republican Senate candidate in Delaware. Now, it was said, if you support this anti-Semitism hate bill, not only are you spitting on the first, only denying the Bible as well, wrote Blaze TV host Lauren Chen. The idea that Jewish people were responsible for Jesus, Yahweh the Son, has been rejected by some Christians, including the late Pope Benedict the 15th in 2011. He wrote a book exonerating Jewish people from these claims, including that his accusers were only temple authorities, not all Jewish people at the time. But you have to think of the three different classifications that I just mentioned. Duke the Indians, Duke the black people in the beginning, and now duking the Bible. So this is one of the reasons why we strongly come to you and try to make you aware of history and teaching you about the Bible intentionally as we do. Some people take it with a yeah attitude, the same thing I'm hearing over and over. But when it comes to pass that the Bible, what you read about the Yahweh Son, is threatened, just think about what you learn from a teacher. Because I always say a teacher can't learn from his students because he's given wise counsel that's been verified and proved. And having knowledge, a teacher gains more experience by teaching. Remember that in some of the classes we took. No student wants a substitute because they cannot teach like the original teacher, making a comparison. However, a student that pays attention can possibly learn from wise counsel and learning to teach one day themselves. It shows that well in all the six camps they teach, and even people that go to school and learn, well, they come back and become teachers themselves. Now, we all came to hear things in the Bible that most of us hear. And some listening may never understand. Well, this is why we have to break it down to make all this misunderstanding barely possible in Yahweh's ministry. You also have many that's curious about things in the Bible. They see them through proper teaching. And some looking for the answer they can never find. These are the missing things. Well, they can do none of these things. And this is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And as I keep reminding you, the key word is righteous. Because if you're not right, it's been many times that we've seen Yahweh will not give you his word. will not even cross your lips. As we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're the ones that's given this knowledge to know. We have many out there that camouflage their evil or confused teaching and overly loud bump the gums contest for righteous learning. Even use the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against us that know. Like some of those shouting in the churches. Well, I don't want to go through none of that because we don't do it here. You have to remember, the best is already here. We're just waiting for the rest to come to teach them the right way to go. This is one of the reasons why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. You have to remember, the non-righteous is doing their job to lead you astray. So we have to make sure we lead you in the correct direction, bringing you into Yahweh's ministry. That's open to you live and coming to you always with new and exciting topics, King James Bible, and first and foremost, about Yahweh's word. Enforcing that word to make sure that you know it in and out. So when you're confronted with these deceivers, you'll have that word protecting you. Learning how to connect the books, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days, such as what we're doing now. And we do this because you have not. This information that you came to seek and have now found that in the voices of the church voice, tribe of God now. We're open unto you for this information on the normal days, not Sabbath days, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Not having a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, Sabbath class we do have, such as now. The top part of Sabbath is Friday. Our class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class we have at 12 p.m. and an online class from 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members decide to leave. In order to get there on any one of your smart devices, put in tribeyada.com. And after clicking it, once again, look for tribeyada.com, -Israelites. When you do this, it will take you to a big line where you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. To use this, step one, click donate with PayPal. Step number two is click send, which will ask you the amount that you wish to send with the message if you like. If it's done, may Yahweh bless you. Doing this, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh the kindness of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves that you're forgiven. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh Elohim. Also for building a school, which is very well needed, a banquet hall, radio station where we can be heard worldwide, and land to grow the health foods we often speak of in this program, Hallelujah Yahweh. Also while there, check out our calendar, which is there to keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to you throughout the year. Also, we have a live program, which is available during our broadcast time. And to get there, this time, enter three words in that search line, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahweh. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. As I mentioned before, so our wise man, you can get one iota difference in any of the information I said, and it'll take you to a totally different place. So you have to make sure you follow those steps accordingly that is mentioned on our broadcast. Because we have a few numbers if you're in question about that. Even one, which is our live conference room number. It was just 319-527-6065. This is where we have all our biblical discussions. The other number is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone six anointed counts. Now, since there's only one teacher, we ask you, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. You can also, by calling the same number, order which is now available, the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD, which is currently available. Just make sure we have the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC, New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos and the stuff we talk about on this station, and even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if that question is legit, you will receive a call back. Unless you call trying to teach, you'll only hear discouraging dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can catch the entire recorded show after 10:30 p.m. And to do that, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. When you click enter, just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Gadol. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you figured that you would like to listen. And doing our normal Broad Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Talk Talk, which most of you should have on your phone, which can be logged in by your phone, tablet, or computer, even nowadays your smartwatch. Just make sure you've downloaded the Pal Talk app. We'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. When you get there, look for Voices of the Trizalites, Tribe of Yada. The room will hold 50 or more listening participants where Yahuwah's Word will be also working for your Bible education. And online there to answer the on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with Seer Israel, writing a shotgun. So during this time, we won't be taking any comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue teaching on Pal Talk. But remember, when we're given any scriptures to speak by the seer, you have to be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear these righteous words of Yahuwah. So, speaking numbers, we have to be careful about making worldly statements that can't be backed up by the Bible. But sure, be sure to make those statements that can be backed up while reading the Bible. So before we turn our program back over, remember, reparation atonement for blacks never happened. Dane's role, after the reservation was given to the Indians, it was brought away, one bit at a time. And now, who gets it all? Who gets it all? Anti-Semitism, voted into law. Think about it. Cast our program over to our seer Israel and say hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, you know, hallelujah, Yahuwah. I did precept a couple of them statements that you made, Elder. So before you do Luke 12:12, you might well, but you got to be careful about giving. You got to know exactly what that means by giving. Soundly, like you said, bring an offering and come into his courts. So I want to precept that, Elder. So then we're going to give some Luke 12:12 and bring Mother in, and we'll get something going on. But in the book of Sirach, Elder, chapter 12, 1 through 7, then go to Sirach 35, 1 through 6, 11, 17, 18. And then we'll be ready for some Luke 12:12, and then we'll bring Mother in, because we did preach up a couple of things that you said. And we want to bring it out, Mother. We're going to bring out some things that the Elder said. We got plenty of time. what's that? Look at the brother. She's saying, you got plenty of time for me to cut you off the broadcast. Yeah, well, okay. All right, hallelujah on that. Okay, so now, in the book of Sirach, Elder, in the 12th chapter, 1 through 7, then go down to 35, 1 through 6, verse 11, 17, 18, then give us Luke 12, 12. And then we'll be ready to bring Mother in, and we'll get something going on top part of Saturday. Remember, all the locations is ready to go from South Carolina all the way down to Chicago. So get in where you fit in at. That mighty camp out there in Springfield, Camp 2, gates wide open. Come on in. Call for details on the international line, 224-600-5579, and get to that mighty camp out there in Springfield, Illinois. Like I said again, always about one thing, getting his word out. Sirach 12, 1 through 7. Then swing right down to Sirach 35, 1 through 6, 11, 17, 18. Then give us some loot. Chapter 12, verse 12. Come on, Elder, all three. Back to back, back. You on the clock, come on.
Okay, in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, it says, for the righteous spirit will give you, teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, Elder. We're teaching that same hour. Now, let's see what Sirach 12, 1 through 7 says.
1 through 7.
And Sirach 1 through 6. 1 through 6, verse 11, 17, and 18. Let's see the benefits of this thing by following his lead. Come on.
Starting with Sirach, chapter 12, we're reading verses 1 through 7. 1 says, all wisdom comes from the Yahuwah, and is with him forever. 2, who can number the sands of the sea and the drops of rain?
Hold on, Elder.
Wait a minute.
Look at
I got the right one.
Look at.
I got it.
Wait a minute. Let me see. I'm gonna make sure. Let me peek in the Bible. Make sure I'm on the right point. Hold on.
No. No, you're right. I'm on the wrong point. I got it correct.
Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Come on, Elder.
Hallelujah. You had the right point. Chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 7. Verse 1 says, when thou would do good, know to whom thou doest it, so thou shalt be thanked for thy benefits. 2, do good to the Yahuwah man, and thou shalt find a recompense, and if not from him, yet from the Most High. 3, there can be no good that come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. 4, give to the Yahuwah man, and help not a sinner. 5, do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the un-Yahuwah. Hold back thy bread, and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster thee thereby. For else thou shalt receive twice as much evil for all the good thou have done unto him. 6, for the Most High hateth sinners, and will repay vengeance unto the Yahuwah, and keepeth them against the mighty day of their punishment. 7, give unto the good, and help not a sinner. Okay, going to chapter number 35, reading 1 through 6, 11, and 17 and 18. Verse number 1 says, he that keepeth the law bringeth offerings enough. He that taketh heed to the commandment for instructions, offer a peace offering. 2, he that requiteth a good turn, offer fine flour, and he that giveth alms, sacrifice praise. 3, to depart from wickedness is a thing pleasing to the Yahuwah, and to forsake unrighteousness is a proposition. 4, thou shalt not appear empty before the Yahuwah, fire. For all these things are to be done because of the commandments, the Torah instructions. Six, the offering of the righteousness makes the altar fat, and the sweet savor thereof is before the Most High. Verse number 11. 11 says, for the Yahuwah recompense and will give thee seven times as much. Verse number 17. The prayer of the humble pierces the clouds until it come high, come nigh. He will not be comforted and will not depart till the Most High shall be whole to judge righteously and to execute judgment. 18. For the Yahuwah will not be slack, neither will the mighty be patient toward them, till he have smited in slumber the loins of the unmerciful, and repay vengeance to the heathen nation, till have taken away the multitude of the proud, and broken the scepter unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm. That was excellent, Elder. So it is so much information that we need to know that gets us what's called, the word you use, our reparation. Hope I pronounced it right, but if I didn't, so be it. But for,
that's correct.
Close the door, baby.
The point that we're making.
Close the door.
That we're making is that we got a lot of work to do. And so what we're going to do, we're going to bring Mother in now. And once she point us to them grandbabies and tell them grandbabies, listen, grandbabies, there's over 900,000 on the international side, the top part of Saturday, and they want to hear all they can hear on top part of Saturday. So we'll give Mother a chance to point a shoe at them real good. And then we'll bring Mother in, and we'll get something going on. So when we meet our Mother, Mother D up Israel, one of the Moses out of camp one, by saying, hey, Mother D up Israel, Yahuwah bless you, see Roy.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mother. Well, you know, you lead by example, Mother. And one thing about it, when you lead by example, you be affecting somebody in another part of the world. Well, this is an international radio broadcast, and the whole world can pick up this broadcast all over the world. And once we lead by example, our works is not in vain, Mother. So you're leading by example, and that's what it's all about. So you in line for James 5:20. You in line for Matthew 21:25, or the 25:21. You in line to receive your blessing by sacrificing yourself, making your body a living sacrifice by coming on this broadcast, getting in where you fit in at. And that's what it's all about. Soon later, we have Sister BSJ Israel hollering that microphone soon later. She said, see, I'm hollering that microphone real soon. I'm hollering that microphone. Sister BSJ Israel. And you know, it reminds me of a statement. Hey, Sister BSJ Israel, it reminds me of a statement, you know, the role you play. It's over here in the book let me pull this out, Mother. Hey, Mother, in the book of Samuel, I want to pull that verse out, Mother. Just came to me. This point toward Sister BSJ Israel. Let's see. What do we say in the book of 1 Samuel? It just dawned on me to bring this out. And in 1 Samuel, my dear of Israel, you know, Hannah had a husband called Elkanah. But look what he says in First Samuel 1, verse 8. He says something in 1, verse 8. Mother dear of Israel, Hearkenah, he said something in 1, verse 8, and it dawns on me about, you know, I don't know how I got some noise from out of the background. I don't know where it come from. Now, but I want to talk about our sister VJ Israel for a minute. In 1 verse 8, it do depict her according to the scripture. What it say in 1 Samuel 1 verse 8? What it say, Mother dear Israel, 1 verse 8?
Okay, 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, verse 8.
Yeah.
It's not his name now. Then said...
His name is Elkanah.
Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is your mind grieved? Am not I better than 10 sons?
Ain't that something?
Better to thee than 10
sons. That's it. That's what I want. He said, look here. He said, ain't I better than 10 sons? See, although Sister VSJ and hit that microphone, but Sister VSJ Israel, she in the background and she is roping, like she's doing her part in grand style, no doubt about it. Sister VSJ.
Hallelujah.
See, it's what I'm saying. See, a lot of, that's what I'm saying. This is an international radio broadcast. You got people that are going to step up all over the world. And that's why I be trying to tell the Six Anointed Camps, when we're teaching lessons, don't get offended when we're teaching lessons, because it ain't about, we just trying to get you prepared to understand something. But this is an international radio broadcast. We've heard all over the world. And you got people all over the world responding to this broadcast. So, but what we do, we take things personal, you know. So don't look at it like that. Because, like I said again, you have never seen our sister VHK Israel. And she better than 10 songs on the hand she plays behind the curtain. See? That's what I'm saying. Be very careful. Because, this ministry is not going to be stopped. This ministry is going to bust wide open. Because we got people that's working behind the scenes tirelessly to push this ministry to a level beyond. That's the best I can say right now. So we leave it like that. So Sister VSJK, keep up the good work, as I can tell you. And a hallelujah to you and the family. The CFC and what you're doing, you're doing it in grand style, and that spirit of Yahweh on you. I leave it like that. Now, let's get back to now Mother D of Israel. Now, Mother dear of Israel, Elder said a whole lot of things, and I like what he said, and I made a couple notes. But one thing I want to bring out, Mother dear of Israel, what can we read in Job chapter 11, verse 16? One of the greatest mysteries in teaching. To understand this Bible, I'm still jiggling the wires already. But hey, you're going to do your part and we got to do ours. But what does it say, Mother, in Job chapter 11, verse 6? What does it say we can read in Job chapter 11, verse 6?
Job chapter 11, verse 6. And that he would show you the secret of wisdom, that they are double to that which is known. Therefore, that Yahweh exact of you less than thine sins deserve.
Mm-hmm. That's good enough, Mother. The point that we brought out with Issachar's boy, one you call the Mexicans today, their biblical name, he said his Bible, it has a double meaning to it. His Bible has a double meaning to it. Sometimes you read his Bible one way, but it has another meaning to it. And that's the point we're trying to make. Let's get a precept on that, Mother. We're going to Sirach 42, verse 24. See, we're going to know when you're ready. Because those all around the world are going to step up to understand one thing. When you read this Bible, the Bible has a double meaning to it. You might read it one way, but it's two meanings to this Bible. And that's when we know that you're ready to graduate and step up. If you understand that when you're reading this Bible, Sirach 42, 24, what does it say, Mother?
Sirach 42,
24.
Sirach chapter 42, verse 24. All things are double, one against another, and he has made nothing imperfect.
So that's good enough. That's good enough, Mom. That's good enough. Again, all things is, see, when you read this Bible, the Bible has a double meaning to it. The Bible has a double meaning. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Mother. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look what it says that we can read in verse number 13 and 14. First Corinthians chapter 2. Now listen real good and give me a little more audio, Mother, because you own something. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 13 and 14. Listen good in 13 and 14. What it say?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13. Which things also we spake, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the righteous spirit teach, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 14. But the natural man receive not the things of the spirit of Yahweh, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned.
So the natural man, Mother, they're not going to understand. See, a natural man going to read this Bible. He going to read it, what you call it, I break it down in two words. He going to read it natural. Then another man going to read the Bible spiritual. See, when you read this Bible, the natural man would never understand this Bible. The natural man is talking about what the elder has been talking about all week. Removing his Bible, removing the records of the Bible, because he's a natural man. Everything in his Bible, they don't understand it, is foolishness to them. But those of spiritual understand this Bible. Once you recognize the Bible has a double meaning to it, and it got a time for something to begin, and a time for something to end, and a time for something to kick in. Now go to Ecclesiastes, Mother, chapter 3, and let's read that. We're going up. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 out of the regular book, and we'll pick it up at verse 1. See, to understand this Bible, you cannot be with a worldly understanding. It's going to get away from you, because you don't know, and no institution is going to teach you that the Bible has a double meaning to it. It has a worldly meaning to it, and it got a spiritual meaning to it. And we will give you a case in point. You know, I'll give you a case in point of what we're saying. And that's why we kind of try to show you, you got to know when certain words in the Bible, what the proper way to use that word spiritually. But if you use it carnal and worldly, you're not going to receive this understanding. Ecclesiastes 3, pick up verse 1. Now, I'm going to give you a case in point. I'm going to give you a case in point of what we're saying. Shortly, after mother, look at Ecclesiastes after regular book, chapter 3, pick up verse 1.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2.
Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 2.
Keep going.
A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Verse
good.
5.
That's good enough. That's good enough. So everything have a time period. But things are unfolding. Now, that's great, mother. Now, okay. When we go to the 47th chapter, mother, of the book of Ezekiel the Seer, 47 verse 1. Now, here go a case in point. In 47, just one verse. One. Look at saying 47 verse 1, mother. One verse, 47 verse 1.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. Come down and set in the dust.
Hold on,
virgin
hold on,
daughter.
Hold on. Make that 37 verse 1. Make it 37 verse 1. 37. Is that what I want? Or did I want 47 verse 1? Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, 47 verse 1. You evidently know. I was told right. 47 verse 1. Look at 47 verse 1 again, mother, real carefully. 47 verse 1 again.
You said Isaiah, Ezekiel.
I said Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47 1. Ezekiel 47
right.
Verse 1. Ezekiel 47,
okay.
Verse 1.
Ezekiel 47.
Mm-hmm. 47, verse 1.
Okay.
Now, we're gonna prove a point right now. We're going to prove a point that this Bible has a worldly meaning to it, and it got a spiritual meaning to it. It got a carnal mind, a carnal understanding, and it got a spiritual understanding. The Bible has a double meaning to it, worldly and spiritual. Okay, you got it? I ain't even gonna give a case in point. 47 verse 1. Now, we ain't got nothing written down going by the Spirit of Yahuwah. Understand what the elder put on the table. The reason why we in the trouble we in today, and all that good stuff he said earlier, we're going to see if we let you understand something. It's something you got to know. And this ministry has the answer after we hear something real good. 47 verse 1. All we want is one verse, mother. Then we're going to take a look at this one verse. 47 verse 1.
Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 1. Afterwards, He brought me again into the door of the temple, and behold, water issued out from under the threshing hole of the temple eastward, for the four fronts of the temple stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the temple at the south side of the altar.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. I need some more about this water. And what happened in verse 2? Well, I need some more. I see now I need a little bit more. So he said, now let me draw the picture. Let me draw the picture. So now Ezekiel was in the water, and he was looking at the temple, and water was gushing out on every side like the pipes had busted or something. Water coming all over the place. Water was just going all over the place. The angel, the truth, put him out there in that water to see something. And so now water is every direction. Let's find out what happened next, Mother.
Verse 2. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran out water on the right side.
Water run out on the right side. Okay, go ahead. 3.
Verse 3. And when the man that had the linen in his hand went forth eastwards, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters where to the article.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, read. I'm looking for one word to get busy on. Go ahead.
Verse 4. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water where to the kneeling. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water where to the loins.
He said the water at the knees. The water at the knees, Mother. So this water was at the knees. Then all of a sudden this water got to the ankle. So this water, but he was standing out in that water, this water got to the knees, his knees, his water got to his loins, that means around by his midsection. That's how high this water got. But this water started at his ankle. So he was standing out there, the water started around his ankle. Now, the water started out around his ankle, then the water got up to his knees, then the water got up to his loin. See how it happened. So now that's what. Now we're gonna stop it right there on that point. Now we could investigate what you're talking about. That water. Let's see if we investigate that, Mother Elder. We want to investigate that a little bit. That's about this water. Let's go to Ephesians, Elder. Let's go and look at this water. I'm going to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And hold on there, Big Digger Terry. Don't jiggle the wires now. Right now, I'm trying to bring out this point. Start jigging the wires right away. It's a point. I want to bring out a point to show you. When you're reading this Bible, it has a double meaning to it. When he brought Ezekiel out to the water was to his ankles. Then the water got up to his knees. Then the water got up to his loins. So that water was getting higher and higher and higher. And now, what captivity is this anyway? See, we need to know all this. This is the Babylonian captivity. This is when the children of Israel was in the Babylonian captivity. And this water had them got up to Ezekiel's loins. That's the point we're going to look at right there. And we're going to find out what is you talking about. We're going to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, Elder. Now, if y'all work with those here a little bit, we're going to bring out some points about because you're reading this Bible. And the reason why they want to ban this Bible, because people are getting an appetite to know that it's more to it than what they are reading. Now, that's why we brought out earlier through Mother. The Bible has a double meaning to it. But if you don't understand that the Bible is spiritual, it's not a carnal, but it is carnal, but it's also spiritual. See? But it's also spiritual. And that's the part where the sixth anointing camps come in, showing you the spiritual part of their carnal understanding. Now, we're talking about this water. And Elder, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, let's talk about it a little bit, Elder. What it says we can read, because we're going to kind of raise the bar up a little bit, to let you know, because you read this Bible, but do you know what you read out of this Bible? Because this Bible got a timeline to it. This Bible got a timeline to it. This is the Babylonian captivity that he is receiving this revelation in the Babylonian captivity. So this is the Babylonian captivity. So keep that in your mind. Make a note of that sixth anointed camp. This is the Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel now, the water that the truth, the angel was showing him, it got up to his loins, around his waistline. But it started with his ankle. Then it got to his knees. Then it got to his loins. Now, what are you talking about? What are we talking about? When you go to an institution, they don't visualize you one way, but showing you the Bible have a double meaning. Watch this, Ephesians 5:26. Let's say
in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, reading verse 26, it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
So, the washing of water is by the word. So when Ezekiel was standing out there in that water, his understanding was at his ankle. His understanding was down around his ankle. The more that the angel talked with him, the more his understanding grew. It grew up to Ezekiel's fierce knees, the understanding. Right? Now, so now this water he's talking about is the understanding. See, we can't really get up in depth in it, but we can give you enough to make you think. we can get enough at it to make you think that he was standing out there in the water, but that water was, he was in limited of understanding. His understanding was at his ankle. Huh? He was at his ankle. Now let's get a precept on that, Elder. Let's go to the book of, to get a precept on that. Let's go to the book called A Precept on It. See, all we can do is, and we can know when you're ready, because you'll see things pass. You'll see things pass. Listen to Robo. Now, Robo want to, he want to cut up. Now, we asked the big dignitary, don't jiggle the wire for a few minutes, and that gave Robo, now he going to take off. You see? So now, old big Robo over there. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, Elder, in the book of Habakkuk, we probably talk more about this if we get an opportunity in class to, over the weekend. Or we might. But like I said again, how you get so much out of this book? By understanding one thing. This Bible ain't what you think it is. That's why they want to ban this book from you. Because it's already been prophesied somebody's going to start opening this book up and showing you that it is a double meaning to this Bible. The water that Ezekiel was standing in, it was a low understanding of the word of what getting ready to happen to the peoples of Israel. His understanding was down to his ankle. But the angel was sent to bring his understanding up before he go to the peoples. And that same thing we trying to do with the 6 anointed camp is bring your understanding up before you go to the peoples. That's why it's so important to support this ministry for the land, school, banquet hall, and the radio station. So we can help your loved ones before they get up out of here to understand about this Bible, that what we've been told worldly, is never was told about the double meaning of this understanding. And so that's why we have to come on the scene and start breaking this thing down. So now in the backup, Elder, what can we read make that not a Beckham, make it Haggai. Make it Haggai there, Elder. Make that Haggai.
Haggai, okay.
Yeah, we're going to make that Haggai. Bypass right. Beckham, and we're going to look at Haggai. Now, something was said in the book of Haggai, Elder. Now we're going right back to what was going on with Ezekiel. Ezekiel was in the Babylonian captivity. That's where he was at. He was in the Babylonian captivity, but he had limited understanding of what was going on. But Yahweh made it plain that if he got something to say, he's going to bring it to the seer. And the seer have to understand it to take it to the peoples. So the seer have to be more diverse. And like when Elder say that the teacher can't learn from the student, but the student have to change their mindset to understand this thing, because this thing is bigger than what you think it is. It's more international than what you think it is. That's why we try to come humble to bring this to your attention. And on some good stuff. So now, but I'm struggling right now, Elder. I'm trying to find a statement that somebody made, but I'm struggling right now trying to line this up. Struggling right now. And he made a statement that he was going to do such things, but right now I'm all over the place right now trying to tie in what Ezekiel was going to, what he was going through to get this word to you, but he had no understanding. But and then the angel was sent to him to bring his understanding past his ankle. And he got his understanding up to around his knees and around his waistline. That would happen. So, but I'm struggling right now to pull this verse out there, Elder. I was still struggling to pull this verse out because if one go through it, all of them go through this. They go through the same information. Now, you see, I'm keep talking until I find my point. Yeah, it was Rebekah chapter 2. Rebekah chapter 2 is.
Okay.
That's what
okay, so I'll go back to Rebekah.
Yeah. Okay, verse 1. So, Rebekah chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to what's going on here in 2 verse 1. We'll read a little bit. Rebekah chapter 2, AKB, AKK, or they call it Abaka. Some say Abaka, Abaka. Okay, fine. Good enough. 2, verse 1, down to verse 4. Listen to this real good, and give me a little more audio, Elder, because we're going somewhere with this. We'll pick back up on it a little bit later. But we're going to lay this groundwork down on what's really going on in Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Remember, Ezekiel was in the Babylonian captivity. And what came before the Babylonian captivity was the Assyrian captivity. Then the Babylonian captivity, then the Medes and the Persian of captivity, then the Greek captivity. So you see, we've been in a lot of captivities. The Assyrian captivity was the first captivity. The Babylonians. Then you went off into the Medes and the Persian captivity. Then you went off into the Greek captivity. You see, and you need to know these timelines of this thing and exactly what's going on. What we get ready to read, Habakkuk 2, verse 1 down to verse 4. Listen to this right here. What it say, Elder?
In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, reading verses 1 to verse number 4. One says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. 2. And the Yahweh answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run and readeth it. 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Now that big talk, that's a whole lot of big old talk today, Elder. So look what he's saying. Look at the man. Look up. The seer says, I'm going to stand on my watch. And when he come to reprove me, we're talking about the angel, the truth. He said, then when the angel did show up, he said, now listen, Habakkuk, you got to make this thing plain. Write on tablets and make it plain. Make it plain. He said, but remember, Habakkuk, it is not for you. It's for a appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak. Speak at the end. What time are we in now? See? What time are we in now? is speaking at the end. And he's saying, when you start speaking at the end, in verse 4, they talk about a man, a nation, their soul is not right up in them. He said, their soul ain't right. He said, it's not for your time, Habakkuk. Same thing about the limited information that Ezekiel had. It wasn't for time, was for the end. He said, the end of this time, it's going to be a nation that's in power. But their soul ain't right. That's what he said. Their soul ain't right. He said, it's not going to be for your time, Ezekiel. It's not going to be for your time, Rebecca. But the soul of this nation is not right. Now, if you know your soul ain't right, that means you is the soul yourself. The soul, the person, the body, it's interchangeable. So he's saying from the head of the feet to the top of the head, this nation, soul ain't right. And that's big talk. Now, that's big talk with them. So now, let's come back, mother, to the 47th chapter. Now, like I said, this book is a spiritual understanding, but this is for the end. It was not for them when they was writing it. It was for the end. And that's when it's saying it's going to speak. So in the 47th chapter, Mother D of Israel, come back to that 47th chapter and look at that verse 1 again. We probably won't get out of verse 1 because so much in verse 1. That's why I like to bring up when he say, how y'all get so much out of that book? You know why? Because the Bible have a double meaning. It's so much in every verse that tells the story if you have the right spirit to understand that this book was going to talk even greater when in the end. And that's the reason why the big dignitary is saying now, and the elders have been talking about it all week. They're trying to remove this book from you because it according to prophecy, it will be a ministry breaking down the end and exposing things that you need to know with the double meaning to it. Now, come back to Mother. I want to read that again, 47 verse 1. Ezekiel 47 verse 1. I'm going to pick out something else in 47 verse 1. So you see, Ezekiel was standing in that water. But his understanding in that water, his words. Hold on for a minute. Come on back, Elders, the third chapter of Ezekiel. Come on back and show you what the word is. In the third chapter of Ezekiel, Elder, let's break down this water. We're going to break down this water because Ezekiel was standing in that water. Let's see what it says, make it the second chapter of Ezekiel, verse 2 and 1 and 2. Let's see what it says in Ezekiel chapter 2, Elder Mr. Tibbs, 2 verse 1 and 2.
Okay. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, reading verses 1 and verse number 2. 1 says, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand up on thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. 2. And the Spirit entered me, and the Spirit entered into me, and he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spoke unto me.
Yo, you kind of low there, yo. So now.
I'll repeat it again.
You made a plane. Now, we got it, but it's low. We got it, but I really want to be serial. I mean, blowing smoke with it, and big time. So listen, The Ezekiel, the same minister spirit is working with him. He said, "Now get on your feet." And what did he say to him in verse 7?
Verse number 7 says, verse number 7 says, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious."
Mm-hmm. Good, good. So you see, he was standing out there in the water, and the angel used that dramatic on him, and what the angel was trying to get his attention in, his understanding was down to his ankle, and to get him up. So the angel was speaking some words to him. Now, 3 verse 4, Elder. 3 verse 4.
Okay, verse number 4 says, chapter 2, verse number 4. "For they are impudent children." And
now, 3:4. Hold on, Elder. 3 verse 4.
Oh, 3, 4.
Ezekiel 3, verse 4.
Ezekiel chapter 3, reading verse number 4, says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the family of Israel, and speak with my words unto them."
Verse 10.
Verse number 10 says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy mind, and hear with thine ears."
Yeah. So you see, you know, he was getting Ezekiel prepared by putting him out in the water. Put him out in the water and watch that water grow. But what was growing on him was his understanding. That was really what was growing on him as he was speaking with him. His understanding starts, and that's what we try to do, is get your understanding up. But he used dramatics with Ezekiel. He put him out in that water. But what he was doing by using that currently, what the world gonna read, but what he was doing, he was preparing him to take care of some business and let them know that the children of the book will be going into great captivity, even greater than the Babylonian captivity. He was preparing Ezekiel by his understanding was down to the ankle when he first got a hold to him. He got it up to his knees. Then he got up to his loins. See that? That means the understanding, and that's why we look at these six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry, and we watching the growth. We know when you first came, your understanding was down to your ankle. But we watching the growth, and you got a lot of them come and they leave messages like, "Well, you know, he learned from me and all that." That's the biggest lie I ever told. He learned from me. That's why I started my own ministry, because he started another ministry. He learned. That is not true at all. You know, all of them use that same rhetoric. Those seer learned from. That's not true. If you use the name YHWH, that means you learn from the seer. Huh? You learn from the seer. Seer does not learn from you. You be a student, and then when you went off on your own, and now you're a standstill. You didn't talk to seer Jack. But that's the conversation. Because all you learn the Bible was one way. Because when you learn the Bible one way, is another name to the Bible if you don't know nothing about this Bible. And you ain't going to get it on what your mindset you got on. Now, well, we leave that alone. So, in that 47th chapter, come back to that 47th chapter again. I want to read that again in the 47th chapter. Verse 1. What it says in 47, verse 1.
Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. Afterwards, he brought me again into the door of the temple, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the temple eastward, for the forefront of the temple stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the temple at the south side of the altar. Verse 2.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Then, now skip down to verse 5. Now skip down to verse 5 about this water. Now tell me what will happen. Verse 5.
Verse 5. Afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the water were raised, water to swim in, a river that could not be passed over.
That's something. Now you see that? So when he got through with Ezekiel, the water, which is that word, Adam got so in him where the water had got so high, he couldn't even swim in that way. I mean, he was bubbling over with the word of Yahuwah. So now, hold that point, mother. Come on back, Elder, the third chapter. Now, what are you supposed to do now? He done got himself together now. And what he's talking about is that word. Now, back to the third chapter, Ezekiel, Elder. Now, look what he says. Once he got the spear on his feet, good. Now that word was and got in him where he understood it, and that word, it was just like it got so high in his head that he was like he was swimming in it. Now, what was said after he knew he was right? He says, what he says in verse 6 and 11.
Verse 6 and verse 11.
Yeah, what it said in Ezekiel 3:6-11.
Okay, I got it. In verse number 6, it says, "Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words can cast not understand. Surely I had sent thee to them; they would hearken unto thee." Verse number 11. "And go thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Yahuwah, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear."
You see that? So you see, these are now Ezekiel. Now look here. You stood up on your feet. You had an anchor up for understanding. It got to your knees, it got to your loins, and that word got so heavy on you that you were swimming in the word of Yahuwah. And guess what? Now, since you got the word, Ezekiel, now go to the people. Now go to the people of the captivity. So you see, we might not tell anybody ourselves. We're not telling about it. We just told it to our tribes of Israel. We're not affiliated with any group. But we know what our mission is to go to the peoples of the captivity. Now, we're going to precept that to 6:13 of Daniel. What peoples of the captivity we got to go to? What peoples, Elder? What peoples we got to go to in 6:13 of the book of Daniel? What peoples we got to go to first of the captivity? 6:13 of the book of Daniel. What say, Elder?
Okay, caught me drinking a sip of herbal tea. Got to go to the book of Daniel's, chapter 6, verse
yeah,
number 13.
13.
I got it. 13 says, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is the children of the captivity of Judah, regarding not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day.
That's good enough, Adam. So now, what captivity, according to that, Adam, we're trying to enlighten this national audience. Not the storyline we're looking for. It's what captivity and what people or that he was sent to get at. Now, the angel told him, get to the captivity of thy people. Now, all we want to know is the name on the captivity of thy people and the 6:13. What's the name of the people he's talking about, Elder? The captivity of thy people. But what we want for the national audience to be edified on what captivity and what people is he talking about according to 6:13.
The children of captivity of Judah.
Okay. Excellent. That's what we want. So the seer's job is to get to the captivity of Judah. Yeah. Now, that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. The seer's job to pass it on, this information, was to get to the captivity of the people of Judah. That is your first stop. And to do what with them, according to the angel? To do what, Elder? And Psalms 119, verse 18, to do what? To do what? 119, verse 18 of Psalms. Now, here go the angel. The truth is going eyeball to eyeball with David. Get to the captivity of your people for what reason? Psalms 119, verse 18.
Psalms 119, verse 18 says, open thine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law.
Ain't that something? So we have to open their eyes to show them wonderful things. And what else? And the law. The law, statutes, and commandments. The wonderful things that you need to understand is in the law, statutes, and the commandments. That's the wonderful thing, not reparation. The wonderful thing you need to know, your eyes need to be open to the law, statutes, and the commandments. This is what your eyes need to be opened up to. Precept. Then precept it on the right side of the book, Ephesians 1:18. Come on, y'all. Ephesians 1:18. So our job is to open your eyes up spiritually and point you back at the laws, statutes, and the commandments. To open your eyes up where you take it for granted what's written in the laws, statutes, and the commandments. What's written, you take it for granted. You pay it no never mind. What? The law, statutes. You put something greater than keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. And your eyes going to remain closed. And your time going to run out. Just like Ezekiel was in the time of the Babylonian Empire. What time do you think you in right now? When you remember what Rebecca was told, that this word going to come out at the end of it? What time do you think you in right now? It's telling you your time is running out. The Bible is speaking to you. You're in a time of what they was woke to tell you now to come back and look at the law, statutes, and commandments, because it's nothing greater than this, but in the Catholic Church, the Christian Church, the Islamic Church, the Jewish Church, sanctuary, they tell you done away with. But now they pointing you right back to this thing because you on the clock, you at the end. Ephesians 1:18. Hey, mother, have me Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 and 8. Waiting on me. Daniel chapter 12. Be making your move now, mother. And Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 and 8. Have that waiting on me. 4, 8, and 13. 4, 8, and 13, mother dear Israel. Have that waiting on me. So now Ephesians 1:18, Elder, what does it say?
In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4,
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18.
In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, reading verse 18, it says, the eyes of the understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his call, and what is the riches of glory of his inheritance and the saints.
So we trying to get your eyes of understanding that what you is going all out in and left in of. We just got to make a change. We're going all out for the affairs of this world. You're not going out at all for his law, statutes, and commandments. That's what you're going to be judged by, law, statutes, and commandments. But we're going all out for this world trying to keep up with Bill. It's not designed for you to keep up with Bill. You ain't gonna never keep up with old Bill. Old Bill gonna come, and Bill gonna be here until you wake up. Then Yahweh will remove Bill. You ain't gonna never remove Bill. No. Because you can't remove Bill. Bill is the whooping stick for your back. It's the whip for your back is Bill. You always gonna face Bill. But what you don't understand, the time of the end is right before you. Because when the elder come on, he tell you, dark sands of old is going to be brought to the table with the double meaning of this information. And the time of the end was also told to Daniel. But look what was said when mother reads the 12th chapter, verse 4 and 8, and the last verse. 4, 8, and the last verse. What did it say, mother? 12. Verse 4, 8, and the last verse of Daniel 12, what it say?
Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 8, and verse 12, I thought 15.
And the last verse, and whatever, 13, the last verse.
Okay, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, read. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro.
Go ahead.
You cutting me off. And knowledge shall be increased.
Come on, mother, work with me now. I get happy because you own something, but you got to have that spirit to be able to receive what I'm trying to put on the table. Ain't not I'm cutting you off. It's just I'm trying to, it's a point in here that this time right here, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of what? The end. What time we in now? The end. What's going to happen at the end? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge scale be increased. So that's the point what Ezekiel was in. He was put in a point where the water was to his ankle when the angel, the messenger came to him, the truth came to him. But he knew he had to get Daniel understanding up, and he got Daniel. So Daniel and Ezekiel and Rebecca got him so high they were swimming in his good old knowledge. But he told them, it's not for you, it's for the end. So you can shut the book up with the information knowing about it, but it's for the end. Get down to verse 8 and 9. 8 and 9. What's in 8 and 9, Mother?
Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Yahweh, what shall be the end of these things?
Verse 9.
And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end.
Ain't that something? Yeah. So when the elder keep telling you about that, the teacher can't learn from the student. And how are you getting so much out of this book? How much? Because the Bible have a double meaning to it. And the time you in right now is the end. So somebody in the end, they wrote it, but it wasn't for them. It was for the ones that will show up in the end. Because a lot of things was going to happen along the way. In the time, it was a time for everything. Get what time we in now? We the time of the end. So this knowledge got to increase, and those that hear it, especially the fishing on the camps of Yahweh's voices of a true Israelite, you got to understand what time you're in right now. It's time now to take it to another level, but I don't see the understanding, and I review all y'all case. I get all the information back from you. I'm still waiting. To understand, to give you the next move, but you got to understand something. Most important thing to understand is what time period you in. Verse 13.
Verse 13, Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. But go thou your way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days.
So that's talking about a return of Daniel at the end. So the return of the spirit of Daniel will be here at the end. But you aren't going to recognize Daniel through the pages of the book. But the spirit of Daniel is at the end. So somebody got to be sitting there to watch Daniel's spirit unfold itself. That's why we keep telling you about this ministry. When you support this ministry, you help unlocking the what needs to be done. Because we have to be in a place large enough where the whole world come in and they be recognized who they are through their speech. Because all these big dignitaries of the Bible will be here when? At the end. But we putting so much time, devoting our time in on things that you need not to be dealing with. And what you should be dealing with is supporting this ministry to help unfold this end by this land school banquet hall and radio station. Yeah? But we got our time off into a bill. All we worry about is bill. We don't understand that it was a time for everything, and it's a time to give, and it's a time to release, and guess what time it is right now? It's up to you. Figure it out. Figure out what time you're in now. Now, so we understand these things, and the sphere understand this thing. It's time for you to understand what time you're in right now. You're not getting no marriage by not understanding the time of the end. Because it came to an end when Mother read, it was a sign of the end when Mother read the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 1 and 7. It was a time of the end. Another era was going to kick in when Moses said out his mouth. What did Moses say in 33, verse 1, Mother? He said in 33, verse 1 and 7. What did Moses say? And he threw it out there. 33, verse 1 and 7. What did he say that,
Mother? Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 and 7. Verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of Yahweh, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear Yahweh, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies.
You see that? So you see that? So it was prophesied that Judah will be taken over from who? Let's go and find out, Mother. Judah was going to be taken over, and once you understand it, it was a process. Judah was to take over from who? Some was the end, and some was the beginning. Moses letting you know that Judah will be taken over when? At the end. But who had to be set back for Judah? Then you got to understand something. Judah was set up for the end. But that means somebody had to back up. And who was that? Let's go to the book of Malachi, Mother. Go to the book of Malachi and see who pulls it back up. Because it's, you know, and what we're looking at, and we read verses, knowing that your understanding can it be at your ankle, but we try to get it up to understand. It was a timeline for everything, but it was also a timeline for something else to begin. So when we go back peeping at and ignore what Moses just said, you're going to be carnal. You're going to be carnal. You're not going to be spiritual. You're not going to understand this word for the time of the end, because what we're doing is quoting things from the time. You're not quoting same time of the year, because you recognize that somebody been set back and not going to be picked back up to a certain time. Let's go to the book of Malachi, Mother. We're going to Malachi. And we're going to find out something on the way of finding out something, Mother. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, 1 down to verse 4.
Malachi.
Yeah, 1 down to verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi 2,
Malachi.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1, and now, all you priests, this commandment is for you. Verse 2, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to mind, to give honor unto my name, says Yahweh of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to mind. Verse 3, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your face, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. Verse 4, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says Yahweh of hosts.
So you see, stop it there. Stop it there. See, he made a covenant with Moses, the Levitical priesthood. He made a covenant with them. He set them up, how they supposed to do business, take care of business. But Moses dropped that statement in the 33rd chapter, verse 1 and 7, to let you know that something was going to happen, and Moses was told something was going to happen, and Judah was to step up. Because Yahweh showed him the Levitical priesthood way after his death. And Yahweh had already put in place another tribe to take care of his business. Skip down to verse 7 to 9.
Malachi chapter 2, verse 7 through verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should speak the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts, verse 8. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupt the covenant of Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. Verse 9. Therefore have I also made you corrupt and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law.
You see that? So it was already told to Moses that the priesthood that I set up, Moses, through you and Aaron and your sons about the Levitical priesthood, is going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. So you don't put no lessons together based upon the Levitical priesthood about what the priesthood did. Because it was a timeline for that. It was to come to an end. And Judah was to take over. Judah was to take over. And we're going to find out how long, because in the 66th chapter, mother, the Levitical priesthood will be set back behind Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, and everybody until when? So you don't put no lesson together based upon what the Levitical priesthood said. Because the Levitical priesthood was going to come to an end. It will come to an end right there. And it would not be cranked back up until when, mother? We're going to Isaiah 66, verse 21. Let's find out when will the Levitical priesthood be put back together. 66, 21. No, read verse 20 just to make it sound good. You got to see all this to see return of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. You got to see all this out of your eyes first and say, well, okay, well, you might as well wake up Levi. But you got to see verse 20 and 21. Until you see verse 20, you pray Levi, no, never mind. What is that in verse 20?
Isaiah 66, verse 20 and 21. Verse 20, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto Yahweh out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in leaders and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my righteous mountain, Judah, says Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the temple of Yahweh. Verse 21. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, says Yahweh.
Now, elder or mother, mother gets the first shot. When do Levite, Levitical priests start running their mouth again? According to what we're just looking at right now, because this is called a double meaning. So when do Levite start talking again? When? And I was just out of that.
What?
Mother, when do Levi start talking again? I just make it plain. When you see the children of Israel come out of every nation heading back to the land. Well, you see, that's what we point we trying to make. We just can't just be reading. We got to read with understanding. The children, the other Levites and all the rest of them got to keep their mouth closed until the return of the children of Israel from out of every nation. That's when the other nations start picking. That's when you will see Levites put back in place. After you see the children of Israel headed back from every nation back to where they came from, that's when I would take Levites and put them back in their position. So until you see the return of the children of Israel out of every nation, then Levite is finished until you see verse 20 is taken care of. And you're not gonna see return of Yahweh until you see this happen. See, these things you have to know. Now, Elder in Zechariah 14, and you're not gonna see Yahweh back on the scene until you understand what he's saying. These are signs that you have to know. You ain't gotta watch that one I say. To know when Yahweh is returning, he'll tell you exactly when he's turning, what to look for according to his Bible. In the 14th chapter, verse 1, we'll show you exactly where we'll get on down to verse 1 and 4. A.L., what it says in Zechariah 14, 1 and 4. See, you got to watch things from the pages of the book. That means the Bible have a double meaning and a spiritual understanding. The return of Yahweh the Son, you got to understand what's written in this Bible to be able to teach. The 14th chapter, verse 1 and 4 will tell you the return of Yahweh the Son, what to look for. Here's 14, verse 1 and 4. Where's the hell? Pick it up, Mother D of Israel. I don't know what's going on. What's going on with the elder's microphone, Mother? I mean, WCC. Mm-hmm. What's sticking on his microphone?
Where are you telling me to go to?
King chapter 1 and 4. What you saying, WCC? I'm not going to even repeat that. I ain't going to even repeat that. 14, 1 and 4, Mother. Come on. Zechariah 14, 1 and 4.
Oh, Zechariah. Okay. Okay.
14, 1 and 4.
Okay, I'm trying to get there. Zechariah. 14, 1 and 4. Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 1 and verse 4. Verse 1. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh. And your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. Verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, is before Judah on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half of it towards the south.
Yeah. So when the return of Yahweh the Son coming, just like he left in Acts chapter 1, and he says he'll return back to that Mount of Olives. But the return of Yahweh the Son, when he comes, the first thing he's going to do is going to take that big black piece of hill and bust that mountain and he'll flip it into two pieces. So, so when somebody say, well, he's back, then go on Mount Olives and stand there. You just can't stand there. Take your feet and bust the mountain in two pieces. Good. Now, take your feet and bust the mountains up. I bet your feet will bleed before that mountain moves. That's how much power Yahweh the Son coming back with. See? When he do come back, when they told him plainly, our mother, hey, mother, what they told him plainly in Acts chapter 1? They told him plainly in Acts chapter 1 something, mother.
Mm-hmm.
When that big black feet hit that Mount of Olives, it's going to bust. Okay. It's going to bust. Flip. Fly all over the place. That's the power of this man coming back with. In Acts chapter 1, mother, look, I ain't even repeat what the big dignitaries said about what they did to the microphone. See, I mean, what they're going to do their job. They, the point, we just ain't doing out. That's the point we're making. But you're at the time of the end now. And you still fumbling around, not dragging your feet. We still put Yahweh's word before last. Because you want to continue to try to catch up with Bill. Your time's going to run out. Time is at hand. And the book of Acts chapter 1, mother. What happened in verse number 11?
Acts chapter 1, verse 11.
Yep. What happened in Acts 1, 11?
Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Verse 11, which also said, you men of Galilee, why standest you gazing up into heaven? This same Yahweh the Son, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
Uh-huh. 12.
Verse 12, then returned they unto Judah from the mount called Olives, which is...
Stop it there. Now look, we read that. They returned from the mount Olives. So now we know where he's going to return back from. But they didn't put it there because they already knew that. By reading Zechariah, that when he returned, they returned back to Mount Olives. But if you don't go back to the right, left side of the book, when he returned, the part that they didn't tell you about, when he do come back, he's going to bust the mountain in two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
See? They didn't have to tell you that because they knew you knew that then, but now you don't know none of this now. And that's why they tell you in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew something, and you still don't, you don't catch it. You don't get it. And you know why you don't get it? Because every funeral, you get jacked up. You see that? He's coming back to Mount Olive. But when he come back to Mount Olive, when he hits that mountain with his big black feet, he's going to bust that mountain and it's going to split. That's the power he's going to bring back. To let you know, this is a real deal. But if you don't understand this thing, you'll be thinking you're going to be raptured away from here and you'll never understand Israel and mother. And mother, they'll never understand what we're getting ready to read. In the book of Matthew's mother, They're not going to understand mm-hmm. this. And it be made so plain, and we watch them just dominate this thing all day long. What it says in 6 verse number 9.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Mm-hmm. Hallowed be your name. Now, what you say in verse 10? I watch this in verse 10.
Verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Now, look what he said, Mother. What do you say your kingdom going to do?
Your kingdom come.
Your kingdom come. Your kingdom is going to come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Well, in earth. Your kingdom is coming to earth. So you got lessons and teaching about leaving here, and he's telling your kingdom going to come where? On earth. You see that? What did Peter say in 1 verse 6, Mother? Then Peter asked the question in 1 verse 6. He's telling you, listen, he talks just that plain, and we with all these degrees can't see what the man's saying. We trying to figure out when we going to get out of here. And he'll tell you your kingdom coming, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the will that's going on in heaven is going to be done on earth. Your kingdom is coming to the earth. And it's going to be just like the kingdom in heaven, in earth. Not up and away. Not at a funeral. They are made it up. No. What they made up for what reason? The kingdom's going to be here on earth as it is in heaven. That means everything in heaven going to come here. You preacher going to have you up there by yourself. Well, the ball game is going to be here. They just told you in verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You see how they in heaven, everything is spinning and grinning, everything running smooth. That's how it's going to be here. Why are you spending ministry trying to leave here somewhere? Well, what are you leaving here for? The kingdom's going to be here. What did Peter say in 1 verse 6, Mother?
Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?
They asked you a question. No, he didn't say no. In Israel. What did he say, Mother? Read exactly what he said, Mother.
That what it says.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Read that verse again, Mother, one more time.
Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?
Oh, yeah.
It's got a question.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was back in the time they were saying.
That's a question.
It wasn't a question mark. It wasn't a period or a comma. So now, but, in that, I'm gonna read the verse, Mother. Listen, Mother. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna read the same verse you read. I'm gonna read it.
Okay.
Acts 1:6. Listen, Mother. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The kingdom to Israel. They won't know. Are you going to restore the kingdom again to Israel? So you see.
Good question.
To Israel.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Peter, Shimon is asking the question. Simeon, Simon is saying, are you going to restore the kingdom again to Israel?
Right.
What is his response? El, what is his response? Let's go to, see, when you preach up your Bible, you get the response. Now you're talking to Shimon. It's called Peter. Now watch this now. Hey, Elder, help me out here. Help me out a little bit, Elder, in this right here. And we're going to Galatians chapter 2. Now, I want to bring out
Galatians.
Something that what Paul said about this man and himself. Now, to know, he said, Galatians chapter 2, that's where we're going. He asked the question, mm-hmm. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what he want to know. See, they knew that. We don't know that. We don't know that word. We don't know. But look what it says here in Galatians chapter 2. Elder. Look what it says in verse 14 and 15.
Okay. Galatians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. 14 says,
and 15. 14 and 15.
Yeah, I got it. I'm starting with 14. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel covenant, I said unto Peter, for them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not
hold on,
yeah, as
hold on, yeah. Hold on, yeah. Hold on.
Right place.
He asked me a question. He called him by his nationality. If thou be from the tribe of Judah, that's what he's saying, Elder. He's not saying Jew, period, there. Jew is a polluted word for Judah. Peter is from the tribe of Judah. See, just what the world has jacked us up and going to continue to jack us up. Paul looked directly at him and said, Shimon, you is from the tribe of Judah. Judah, that's what he said. And this will these other nations play on us by we voluntarily by this corrupt word called the Jew. And when you bite in on that word called a Jew, you're going to bite in the word called Jewish. And when you bite in the word called Jewish, you're going to bite in the Jewish community. And then we're going to be all over the place. That's why the water got to get past our ankles. Because we got to be clear what it's saying, Mother. And 2 Corinthians 2:11. Hey, Mother, what's that in 2 Corinthians 2:11?
Okay.
Second Corinthians
2:11. Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his device.
And his device is word of word, Judah. He'll place the word Jew there. And then when you're biting the word called Jew, you're biting the word called Jewish. And then when you're biting the word called Jewish, you come up with a people and a community. You see how he operates? That's how he operates. But Peter is in the bloodline of Judah. And this was there. And Paul looked him head on and said, listen, he said, you being a Judah, living after the manner of them Gentiles, and not as do Judah. Now look, let's pick up there. What does he say? What does he say? Because this word Jew, it got to be dealt with. If, remember, we was at our ankle in understanding. Now we both be ready to swim in this truth by raising our level up to know plainly. Just like we can look in the Bible and see Lord God and Jesus and put Yahweh there with no problem. You got the same way with the Jew. You got to put Judah there with no problem. Can't compromise on it like you don't compromise on Lord God and Jesus and Jehovah. You got to put Yahweh there. The same thing you got to do with this word called the Jew. The Jew. Huh? Where's the other?
Okay. If thou being Judah liveth after the manner of Gentiles, and not do as the Judah, why completest thou the Gentiles to live as do Judah?
Okay. Now watch this. Look at this. Watch this in 15. Now watch. Now he gonna make it even plainer in 15.
We who are Judah by nature, and not by sinners of the Gentiles.
You see that? He said, we from the tribe of Judah by what? Nature. So we from the tribe of Judah by nature. This is ain't no drafted in or conversion. Just for understanding of the broadcast, Paul said to Peter, you being from the tribe of Judah by nature, why you acting like them Gentiles? By nature. Huh? So he was by nature from the tribe of Judah. And if you understand that, now when we go right here in Luke 17, with that understanding, Peter by nature is from the tribe of Judah. Remember, Mother, just got to be reading about the kingdom, your kingdom going to come. Look what's said here in Revelation chapter 17, verse 20. Come on, y'all. Look what's said in Luke 17, verse 20. Look what he's saying here. Look what he's okay. Look what this man saying. That's why I say, I'm waiting. The best is already here. The rest got to come. 17, verse 20.
A revelation of Luke.
Luke, chapter 17, verse 20.
Okay. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse number 20. 20 says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of Yahweh should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of Yahweh cometh not with observation.
What do you mean by not come by observation? Ain't nothing coming down to you. You look for something to happen, a kingdom, a physical kingdom to come down to you. That's big talk you're talking. Now he's talking. This big talk. Watch what he said in the next verse. Watch what he said in the next verse. Knock out the pause, you know.
21. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of Yahweh is within you.
The what? The kingdom of Yahweh is in you. The kingdom of Yahweh is in you. The kingdom of Yahweh is in you. Who are you talking to? Judah. Kingdom of Yahweh is in you. It's not by you. You're going to be looking up in the air. You're going to see something coming down. No. He's telling you the kingdom of Yahweh Judah is in you. That's why we read earlier the Bible got a double meaning to it. The kingdom is already in you, Judah. Man saying the kingdom of Yahweh is already in you. Why are you looking up in the air thinking something's going to come down to you in the kingdom of Yahweh, Judah, is in you? I know them got a little best of their head. That don't got, I know they got to let that sink in. Let it sink in to you. The kingdom of Yahweh is in you, Judah. It's already in you. You worry about some physical thing to come. On the double meaning, is in you once you return back to the understanding of the law, statutes, and commandments, and do it. The kingdom is already in you. So, Mother, we're going to the 21st chapter of Revelation. Now, with that understanding, we're going to the 21st chapter, and they're going to put a name on something. And see, 21st chapter, verse 1 and 2.
Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the righteous city, New Judah, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Judah, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven. And guess what? It was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now look at that. But she was going to go path for his path for Judah. Mother, give me 11:21 of Deuteronomy. Give me Deuteronomy 11:21.
Deuteronomy.
Demo pull a rabbit out of here. Deuteronomy 11:21.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 11:21.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21 reads, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which Yahweh swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth.
You see that? He swore on your father that the land that I'm going to give you of heaven is going to be on earth. It's going to be on earth, not up in the way. What I'm going to give you is here. You ain't going nowhere to get it. And it's already in you once you come back to with the understanding of the law, statutes, and commandments. The kingdom is already in you. But it's got to be activated. It's got to get past your ankle, Judah. Let's go to Isaiah 51, verse 1, Mother. 2, verse 1. Now, I know. I hear you, WCC. I ain't even respond to that either. Isaiah, come on, Mother. D.F. Israel, 52, verse 1. Now, listen, watch this here. 52, verse 1. Isaiah 52, verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Judah. Put on your beautiful garment, O Judah, the righteous city. For henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean.
Wait a minute. Hey, mother. He said, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Judah. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Judah. Then he told Judah exactly who you were. The what? What is Judah, mother?
The righteous city.
Hey, so he had the man to try to tell you, you are the kingdom is in you. You are the righteous city. You can't put no garments on the garments go on the people. You are the righteous city, Judah. You are the righteous city. The kingdom is in you, Judah. You are the righteous city. You're looking for something physical, and he's talking about you. You see that? See it right there. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Judah. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Judah. Then he tell you who you are, the righteous city. You see that? You're the righteous city. That's why you're looking for something to come by observation that will come down in a physical form. You are the city, O Judah. You got to wake up, O Judah. Read verse 2.
Verse 2. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Judah. Loose yourself from the band of your neck, O captive daughters of Judah.
Now, see how plain that is? You see why when the other two tell you, you need a teacher? And stop trying to teach the teacher. Stop lying about, people got other camps saying, well, I'm the one talking. You ain't taught to fear nothing. You don't teach like this. You can't teach, but he won't get to you like this. Stop lying. Stop lying so much. What happened to us in verse 3?
Verse 3. For thus says Yahweh, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money.
You see that? You don't sold yourself for nothing. Judah, he's talking to you, Judah. You don't sold yourself for nothing. You broke away from the law, statutes, and the commandments. You done it for nothing. In the closing statement, mother, after you read verse 8. Look what it says in verse 8 in the closing statement. See, time's in a way. You know, it's just so much those spirit-led brain killing. But it's up to you to understand one thing. It's up to you. The Bible has a double meaning to it. The kingdom is in you, Judah. Verse 8. And what you got to do? Verse 8, the closing statement, mother. Verse 8.
Verse 8. Your watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh shall bring again Judah. Shalom, shalom. I guess they're